Welcome to the March 2024 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Roll call.
Kurt Alston.
Here.
Daniel Bush. Tim Doherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Bruce James. Carl Richko.
Here.
Michael Sebetich.
Here.
Dan Van Abs.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
And we also have on the phone, we have Jason Kane from the Attorney General's office. Jason, you're there, correct?
Yes, good afternoon.
And we also should have from the Governor's Authorities Unit, Alexis Franklin. Alexis, are you on?
Yes, I'm here, thanks.
Thank you. And Mike Dressler, Councilmember Mike Dressler, are you on the phone? Okay, he's not. And Dan Bush, our new council member, is coming in. Open Public Meetings Act?
Yep. This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. This meeting is being conducted at the Highlands Council office located at 100 North Road, Chester, New Jersey. Participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up to close of business on Friday, March 22nd, 2024.
Thank you, Annette. Please join me in pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chair's report. I just have one item. I've asked the council member Dan Bush to be a member of the Budget and Finance Committee. He has agreed, and so I'm officially appointing Dan Bush to the Budget and Finance Committee. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Executive Director's report.
Thanks. I just have to change things up a little bit from what I anticipated, so we'll start out with the You received an email from me yesterday about the Pohatcong-Wapakong redevelopment area application being withdrawn from the agenda. I just want to make sure that the council members understand that we were prepared to proceed with this today, but on yesterday morning we received an email from Pohatcong Township Mayor Slack advising us that on Tuesday night their council had voted to withdraw their application for redevelopment area. The redevelopment area required both Wapakong and Pohatcong to be participants in the application. Now that there's only one of the two towns remaining in the application, it can't proceed any further. So it's off the agenda for now. I just want to point out to the council members, the staff put literally, you know, probably close to 100 hours total worth of work of staff time into this. We worked with the municipalities. We worked with the developer. We extracted a number of concessions out of the developer that were designed to mitigate the impacts of the development, including compensation for lost farmland. So this was not occasioned by anything that took place here at the council level, but it was Pohatcong's choice to withdraw from the application and not proceed. So everybody knows why this occurred. If they choose to proceed again, they'll be back to basically square one. But it's up to the municipalities. It's a municipally driven process, so not a council driven process.
So it only can start from the beginning again.
It has to be renoticed.
Yeah, it has to be renoticed. Right.
I mean, we're not going to look. And then renoticed at our level as well.
We've done the evaluation of the site, right? All the underlying scientific work has been done, all the planning work has been done. That unless there was a substantial change in what they were proposing at the site, it wouldn't be so much of a heavy lift, but they gotta figure out what they want to do. And we're here to help them when they do that. So go back to where I was going to start. In case you don't know, there was an affordable housing bill signed by the governor yesterday, A4S50. That bill was substantially changed in the Senate version. The Senate version included references to the Highlands Regional Master Plan, the Highlands Act, the Highlands Council's build-out, so when, and to conforming Highlands municipality. So when the affordable housing obligations are going to be determined, the Highlands and our land use capability zones, which are also specifically called out in the Act, are going to play a big part in the determination of those obligations. Not just in the obligation numbers themselves, but the methodology by which they'll be met and the geographic locations where it will be appropriate to build. We were able to prevail upon the sponsors of the bill to recognize that the preservation area, that the conservation zone and protection area within the Highlands was not appropriate for high-density housing and therefore should be off-limits to any type of inclusionary development, what development does occur according to the regional master plan should be directed towards the existing community zone and towards designated Highland centers. And the legislation does recognize that. That's a big jump forward, right? We've had a lot of trouble gaining traction outside of the Highlands Act for recognition by other state authorities and state agencies. This does that. But having gotten that recognition, now the obligation falls upon the Highlands Council to put up. I said we're like the dog that caught the car. Now that we got them to recognize us, we've got to put our work in here. And so what we anticipate doing is presenting, and there's a very short timeline because the municipalities are going to have to be prepared to start in September to be putting their affordable housing plans together. So in order for us to be able to provide that kind of support, we're going to have to do a regional master plan update to conform the way that we treat affordable housing in the regional master plan with the legislation. We're going to have to get on that. If we want it passed by September, we're going to have to get on that by April. We've been working on that. Staff has been putting together we were working on this to begin with. I mean, you know that. That's the reason why we anticipated round four was going to need our input to begin with. The legislation slowed that work down until we saw what it said, but now we have to re-accelerate our work to be able to be prepared for that. So we're going to have both an affordable housing committee meeting and a regional master plan meeting, both internally and publicly, to be able to put that into position where it can be put out for public comment and eventually adopted. The other thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to come up with guidance documents to explain the Highlands municipalities just how they should be writing these housing plans and what should be contained within them. We're going to have to come up with a grant program to pay for those plans, and it's going to eat up an awful lot of our available grant budget. But we're here. We've got to be able to play this role. We've got to be able to support our municipalities. Make sure, unlike the third round, they're not going to be left alone to their own devices in this. And that we're going to give them appropriate guidance. The other hidden part of this is there are provisions for conforming municipalities to be treated differently than non-conforming municipalities in the Highlands. And I think we're going to put the bakery machine out front where you're going to have to take a number before you come in to work with us. But I think we're going to see, we've already gotten contacts from a number of municipalities. Aside from the legislation itself, where we're looking to conform, I just think this is going to create more business for us. On the agricultural front, we had an agricultural committee meeting about a week and a half ago, which was very interesting. We had a presentation on the Warren County food processing facility that's slated to go into the Covanta site. The developers of that site who received the grant from us to do the planning work on that were keeping us up to date on the progress of their project. They're going to go for USDA funding for bricks and mortar. We went over all the market demand. I think we've discussed this before. Warren County is the number one county in the state in terms of livestock production. There are no processing facilities for livestock within New Jersey, certainly not within the Highlands. If this project goes forward, it's going to meet the indigenous need for the farmers of the Highlands, but also be able to attract farmers from eastern Pennsylvania and southeastern New York who also don't have the access to a small, and it's going to be a small-scale operation designed to meet a niche market for people who want locally produced meat, who want to know who produced it, how it was produced. And that's going to be a big addition to the agricultural landscape of the Highlands and New Jersey as a whole, frankly. We talked about solar on farms, and we had a presentation from the New Jersey Water Supply Authority about making money available for stormwater management on agricultural properties. And we're going to partner with them to try to align our grant program with their grant program so that we're working in coordination. We met with the SADC to talk about two things. One is there was a legislation passed that allows them to value farmland differently for preservation purposes. We wanted to talk about the different factors that would go into that valuation. And we also discussed whether or not we're going to be proceeding with the municipal average value project. And we'll have an update for the council on that probably next month. Finally, we had our quarterly meeting with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Again, to talk about two things. They have money available also that we could try to bring to the table for the farmers in the region for stormwater management projects and also for rural community wastewater treatment. I'll talk about that again in the future, but it is an immediate problem for some of our municipalities. So if we can work with USDA to bring some money to that, that would be a big benefit. We've been reaching out to the city of Newark, trying to engage them to try to see if we can develop a good working relationship with Newark. They are the largest landowner in the region. They own 35,000 acres in Morris, Sussex, and Passaic counties. They also are the number one single user of Highlands water, and it would only be beneficial for us to have a good relationship with them. We'd like to do some education and outreach, work with them on the management of their properties, and quite frankly, bring a hopefully a politically powerful constituency into understanding the value that we bring to them, and maybe use that to garner more resources for our work. We reached an agreement with the Department of Interior on the dual appraisal method that was not permitted under the federal funding methodology. We think that we came to an accommodation with them that will allow us to meet the dual appraisal requirements of the Highlands Act and still be consistent with the federal funding law. We'll see how that works out. I think it's a good solution. We'll have to wait for a project to put it through the... James, we have a project, right?
Yep.
We think we could at least test out to see if the appraisal methodology will work. We had our quarterly meeting with DEP where we discussed amendments to the rules that DEP has that apply to the Highlands to make sure that we're appropriately represented in those rules, and to also go back and discuss the failing septic systems in the smaller municipalities that I referenced when I was talking about the USDA money. If you just look at some of the municipalities within the Highlands, and I'll use Califon or Bloomsbury Borough as the examples, they're small municipalities. They are on mostly septic. They're in very small lots that are probably too small to handle the septic. They're right on the Musconetcon River, right on the South Branch of the Raritan River. They need a way to be able to handle their wastewater within the town, yet they're simply not big enough to have the ratepayer base to fund a larger scale sewer plant. So we think we have some ways forward with them, but we're going to work with DEP to try to support them and come up with a solution for that. We had a meeting with Kane University last month to talk about having their science program work with our science team on projects studying the issues that we're facing in the Highlands, particularly looking at things that are long-term, like undertaking projects to monitor the climate over a 20, 30, 40, 50-year period. You got to start somewhere, and having a good relationship with an academic institution that both is interested in the work that we do, but also has a presence here in the Highlands. The Kane Skyland campus up in Jefferson is a wonderful resource, and it's underutilized right now. So if we can work between our science team and the folks at Kane, we might be able to do some really good things. I want to give the council a heads up, just hearkening back to what I was just talking about. We see just from the demand and the number of applications that have been coming in that the stormwater requirements for municipalities and now the affordable housing plans that are going to have to be done, they're going to put a strain on our grant budget going forward. We've never really bumped up against the limitations of the grant budget. As we project out, it looks like we may be running into the limitations of what we have available. The new budget for 2025 keeps our grant budget stable at $2.1 million. I think we're going to probably be spending all of that. We're still going to get the other types of normal planning things coming through here that we're going to have to fund. But stormwater and affordable housing in particular, we found, I think what happened is municipalities were doing their budget, right? It's budget time in every municipality. And they sat down and you start putting pen to paper and you say, oh man, how are we going to pay for this? And somebody's going to come up with a bright idea. I think maybe the Highlands Council could help us. And the answer to that is yes, we can. I spoke at the Watershed Conference back in February, as did Council Member Van Avs. Dan was the keynote speaker at the Watershed Institute event, talking about the statewide water master plan, and I addressed issues about dealing with stormwater on a regional basis. And on that end, we're going to be meeting with DEP tomorrow to discuss the Highlands' role in the state water master plan. Two of the members of our science staff are currently working towards being certified as floodplain managers. That's good for their professional development, number one. But the other thing is we can provide a lot of service. If we have that capability here in-house, we can provide services to our municipalities, particularly when it comes to things like flood rating, for the municipality, that will help them and help their homeowners with their flood insurance rates if it's required. Let's see, we have two big initiatives that are going to be moving forward, again, eating up an awful lot of our time. The Open Space and Recreation Plan, the council voted last month to award the contract to TPL on that. That contract's going to be signed and that work is going to begin. Today we have a recommendation for you for the branding and marketing plan for the Highlands region. If you choose to move forward with that today, that's going to be a major project for us. That's going to eat up a lot of staff time, but both of those projects are going to provide tangible results. They're going to provide value to the region as a whole. The public comment period on the two RNP updates continues until April 1st. We held the six public hearings. We've gotten a number of comments in on those two proposals. Not a lot, but some, and some that were very valuable. Once that public comment period closes on April 1st, we'll prepare a response document and we'll have a presentation for you at the April meeting to finalize the adoption of those two RNP updates. We submitted our own comments on the proposed update to the state plan. Of note, I think it's interesting for our purposes, is that they're going to adopt our land use capability zone map and just drop it into the state plan so that our mapping will replace the state plan planning areas on the state plan map. And we also gave a very detailed description of how state agencies should be dealing with the Highlands and where the Highlands Regional Master Plan should play a role in informing all state policy going forward. We've been working with a number of municipalities. We just met with Hardin yesterday. We've been to Boone, to Neckon, Mountain Lakes, and Roxbury, all our towns that prior to the affordable housing bill being passed, we're contemplating conformance with the regional master plan. I think that list is going to be longer as we go forward. We continue to support the MS4 permitting work that I talked about before. We've given grants to Liberty, to Hope, to Mendham Township, to Byron, to both Clinton's, West Milford, Mine Hill, and Pohatcom. And the last thing is just a personal note, and this I just want to publicly acknowledge to the staff. I know you don't know this. I had my sister passed away between last meeting and now, the second of my sisters to have died in the last 6 months. It's been very tough, but I want to thank the staff for their support and at this time. I want everybody to know how much I appreciate you and keeping me focused on the work here. And you guys know how much I value your work, and I really appreciate it. So with that.
Well, first of all, so sorry to hear that. Condolences from all of us. Just before we go on, I have to do some work here with Mike Dressler. Are you on the phone now? Bruce James, are you on the phone? Okay. All right, do any members of our council have any questions or comments for our director after his report? Anybody have? Yes.
I do.
Mike Trepp, Mike Francis.
Your report, with especially with affordable housing and stormwater management, is spot on. But in my opinion, if we have municipalities that expect us to spend money and energy, I think that's a two-way street. And I think that if they choose not to, then that's a message saying that they're not quite interested in everything we do. So I would suggest strongly that it would be important to the municipalities understand that they also are part of the solution. And if they choose not to be, then I don't think they should be funded.
It's well noted, Mike, and you know, James and I have had that discussion that we're gonna, I think for the first time, we're gonna have to prioritize, you know, we're gonna come down where we're prioritizing. You know, our grants have never been competitive before, but they're gonna take on a competitive
deal.
We only have such certain amount of money, and you have to prioritize. It's probably the first time we've had to do that in the 14 years that I've been on the council. Dan Van Ass.
Question with regard to staffing. I know that with regard to full-time lines, that's pretty much determined by the budget. But I also know from working with state agencies that there are sort of temporary workarounds, hiring part-time people for 940 hours a year, or contracting with a firm that then provides people who work within a state agency. And I know DEP has done both of those. I don't know what our flexibility is with regard to those operators.
Right. We can do those things. In fact, we have several people on staff that are part-time now. We're still constrained by the overall operating budget, so that we've got a $15,000 leeway, right, that between what our last year operating expenses and what we project out for this year. And so it doesn't leave us a lot of room to do those things.
Any other comments or questions from the council? Seeing none, we'll move on to the approval of Highlands Council minutes of February 15, 2024. Need a motion and a second. Moved by Council Member Daugherty, seconded by Council Member Van Abs. Any discussion? Hearing none, please poll.
Council Member Alstead.
Yes.
Council Member Bush.
Yes.
Council Member Daugherty.
Yes.
Council Member Dressler. Council Member Francis.
Yes.
Council Member James. Council Member Sevetich.
Yes.
Council Member Van Abs.
Yes.
Council Member Vizioli.
Yes.
Council Member Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. Motion passes. Yes. All right, we have the Audit Committee. Council Member Vizioli is the chair. This is consideration of a resolution. So could you please present that to us?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a resolution in front of us here this afternoon that deals with the audit report that was done. We had a recent meeting with the Budget and Finance Committee and with the outside the agency of Arcadian, I think that's right.
That's right.
Okay. And we reviewed it and asked the appropriate questions and so on, and the committee wants to put forward for approval this particular audit report. And we found nothing that raised a flag relative to the audit report. So I'd like to move that forward, Mr. Chairman, when you're ready.
Okay, moved by Council Member Vizioli. We need a second.
I'll second that.
Second by Council Member Bush. Discussion? Oh, this is, we can have first. We can have discussion by the council. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, yeah. this is discussion from the council. Anybody have any discussion on the audit report? All right, this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to comment on this resolution only? I've been on for 14 years and no one has ever commented. So. But we have to ask. So.
Dave Shum.
Well, that's true.
He doesn't usually comment on this.
Yeah. All right, Hearing no discussion, please poll.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Bush?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sepetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
Yes.
Chairman Richko?
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Okay, we can move on to the Budget and Finance Committee. Councilmember Vizioli is also chair of this committee, so I'll turn it over to him.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. We met on March the 7th via Zoom, and we had a lengthy discussion. The first item was the town of Clinton for the redevelopment plan, and they're requesting $10,000 to create this particular plan. And moving forward, there was a award contract, if you will, that was discussed in some detail relative to a branding and marketing plan. And Mary Jude, if you'd like to comment on that, it would be welcomed, of course.
Certainly. Thank you.
Do the resolution.
Just turn it on. Well, let's see. Get to the next slide.
Is it not wrong?
There we go.
All right.
Okay, so we actually were very successful in receiving proposals for the branding. And, oh, let me turn it on. The branding and, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. The branding and marketing plan that we put an RFP out for late last year. We actually received 8 proposals, and as a review team, we decided to interview 4 of those teams represented by those proposals. Each of the teams that we interviewed, we thought had some interesting approaches for the various tasks that were outlined. However, overall, we felt that there was one team that was far superior to basically get us to where we want to go as far as the branding and marketing for the Highlands region. There we go. So the team of North Star, both in their proposal and in their interview with us, really impressed us with the depth of their expertise. They are specifically a branding of places. That they don't brand widgets, they don't market widgets, they brand places. And this is exactly what we were looking for, and we were delighted that they submitted a proposal. They gave us a good sense of how they would approach the project. They have a very detailed and proven process that they've followed in the past. And I actually had the opportunity to speak with several of the clients that they have done work for over the last 10 years. And everybody was very positive. But not only that, you know, not only were they enthusiastic about the product that they had gotten, but several of those had hired North Star back over the past several years to do additional work because they were so satisfied with the process, the work product, and the results. Because some of these projects were actually done, like I said, 5 to 10 years ago, and they're seeing results, and they're seeing that what North Star did and helped them do was very effective. So we really feel very comfortable recommending that the council award this contract to North Star. The contract we are proposing would be up to $200,000. That's what the council had approved in the budget, although their proposal specifically said that they expected to spend $130,000 for the 3 phases that were outlined in the RFP. And then they estimated that maybe it would be $45,000 should we choose to move forward with a website, and then an additional $10,000 for expenses associated with, you know, all of the outreach that they're going to have to do, and traveling around the region and things like that. So we're happy that those numbers don't add up to $200,000, but we were hoping that we have that at least as a cushion, because as we go forward, as we start to reach out to our stakeholders, we're not sure exactly what we're going to come up against. Mm-hmm. So that would just give us that cushion, though. They did give us a what we thought was a very reasonable contract approach, and very fair numbers. They were actually one of the lower bidders, not the lowest, but one of the lower ones. But that aside, the quality of their work is what is encouraging staff and makes us make this recommendation.
Thank you. Before we discuss, we need a motion and a second.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councilmember Vizioli, seconded by Councilmember Francis.
Excuse me, Carl, which resolution?
Which are we voting on? I thought he was just introducing the first one.
Are we doing? We did the first one and the second one now. He introduced the first one, which is the plan.
Oh, okay, all right.
And then we still have GIS, so maybe let Jocelyn do the GIS and we can vote on all of them?
Let's treat, you know, just take those motions second off. I thought we were, had all three, so.
Jocelyn can do the presentation.
I have a question on that. I have a question on that before we move on. Could you give me an example of what branding means and?
Sure. So, as Carol likes to say, when you think about the Pinelands, you have a specific image in mind. Even when you think about the Meadowlands, you probably have an image. But when you think about the Highlands, it's really hard to grasp what it is that we are. So the branding is to develop that image so that when we use this for marketing, for tourism, for agriculture, for our small downtowns and everything else, that there is an image that comes to mind that makes you gravitate toward it.
There you have it.
All right.
Continue? Okay, I will.
Mr. Chairman, will they be changing the name of the Highlands?
Oh, no. This is not about the council. It's about the region. So we're not proposing a name change. We're really talking about an image of who we are.
An identity.
The region is.
Yeah, for the region, not for the council. The council is the council.
So if you think about the Hudson Valley and its agricultural products, there's a brand that is kind of an overarching brand for the agricultural products of that region. We would foresee that we would be able to market Highlands Farmers products under a Highlands brand name, right? To be able to bring some, right? And the other is to generate visitation, right? When you understand that there are 20 million people that live within a 2-hour drive of the Highlands proper, that we need to be able to tap into that to get economic development within the region that's consistent with all the other goals that we have to meet.
And the largest lake in the state.
And the largest lake in the state.
Yeah, forget that.
I'm still on the Meadowlands, what I think the Meadowlands looks like.
Well.
I come up with some really good.
We don't use that kind of language.
I used to work for the Meadowlands Commission. And actually, I should have mentioned that this particular project is a direct direct support from the Economic Sustainability Plan that the council released in 2021. So we're basically building off of that.
All right, good. Okay, Mr. Chairman, the third resolution we have in front of us has to do with GIS services and a award contract. GIS is an important product for many of our planning aspects as we proceed forward. So council has to consider this particular resolution, and the Budget and Finance Committee approved it and wants to move it forward in a positive note.
So, this is for on-call services,
yes.
up to the amount, and we can only, we'll call upon them as necessary, and Jocelyn will explain why.
So late last year, we put out a RFP for GIS services. We had previously had three contractors under a earlier GIS services contract that worked really well for us in giving us a broader skill set within the GIS department and the ability to accomplish more of the council's needs. And we are looking to continue this partnership, and we received 13 proposals of qualifications back. We are choosing three of them. And each of the firms that we have chosen are all known within the region. They all have very good sized GIS and planning departments, and their skill sets are diverse in the company, but they're also diverse between the companies. So it is going to allow us to do more than what we can do just in-house. And the contract is for $25,000 a year for 3 years for each firm. And that is on a, as call, as Ben said, as needed basis and project related. So we are would like to award the contract to Remington and Burnick Engineers, Verdantis, and the Neglia Group.
And let me just add one thing too. Like we now with the affordable housing bill, they're going to do a GIS assessment of the state. They've requested that we assist them with the GIS assessment of the Highlands. So either it's going to fall upon our staff, or we're going to use one of these on-call firms to do that work for us.
Okay. Well, I was just told we have to vote separately on all three, so I was right before. So we're going to start with going back to the consideration of resolution approval of the fiscal year 2024 Highlands Protection Fund capital budget for planned conformance funding grants. So we need a motion and a second on that.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Council Member Vizioli and seconded by Council Member Francis. Discussion. Hearing none, this is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bush.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Next resolution was approval of contract for branding and marketing plan. Need a motion and a second on that.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Council Member Vizioli. How about somebody from this side here?
Hello. Yeah.
Second by Council Member Sevetich. Any discussion? Okay, this is a voting matter with public input, public comment. Would anyone like to address the council on this resolution only? Hey, please state your name.
Dylan Medici, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. It's really great to see this marketing and branding plan finally coming along, especially alongside the Open Space and Recreation Plan, because the New Jersey Highlands really has something of an identity crisis. I think at the last council meeting, Mr. Spinelli said that when people think of the Highlands, they think of the Atlantic Highlands or maybe even the Pennsylvania Highlands, if we're lucky. So when people think of the Highlands, they don't think of New Jersey. They don't think of the beauty that we had out here. So it is going to be really great to see, something coming along that, you know, puts the Highlands on the map like the Poconos or the Hudson Valley or the Catskills are. And hopefully we'll see a pretty good return on investment for, you know, what I think is a bargain for developing that marketing plan. That'll see some maybe some tourism dollars being shoved towards the Highlands, because what we see at the state level is really tourism in New Jersey is pretty much all along the shore in Atlantic City. So people don't really recognize what we have here. We have some beautiful lakes. I'm looking at Councilmember Francis, Lake Itacong is beautiful, and it would be great to see some money being allocated towards our smaller communities. So thank you.
Thank you.
Don't forget the fly fishing.
Yeah. People don't recognize that New Jersey has some of the best trout in the Northeast.
Bill, please state your name.
Bill Kibler with Raritan Headwaters. First, I want to thank Mayor Francis for calling out the largest lake in the state of New Jersey, which you of course know is Round Valley at 55 million gallons. So thank you, Mayor Francis. That's how you do marketing, by the way. In order for regional planning to be successful, you need a constituency that is there to defend the region, a constituency that benefits from the region. And in order to do that, you need a constituency that understands what the value of the region is to them. And I think in many ways, that's where the Highlands has been kind of lost. We have such a large constituency, both inside and outside the Highlands region, many of whom don't recognize how important the region is to them. So I think that this step towards a branding and marketing plan is well overdue, and I think it's a great idea. I think it's very important. There are three legs to the sustainability stool. The triple bottom line, as my business folk friends like to say, it's economic sustainability, environmental sustainability, and social sustainability, and this goes a long ways towards helping to reinforce that economic sustainability of the region. If you look at other regional planning efforts in the Northeast, you'll see that those that have been most successful in the long term are those who have a constituency that's willing to speak up and fight for them, and oftentimes that constituency may be outside the region. So I think helping to build the brand for the Highlands, great idea. Good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Mayor Francis.
Anyone else from the public like to address the council on this resolution? Seeing none, anyone else from the council? Any discussion? Please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bush.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Ams.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
And the third resolution is approval of contracts for Geographic Information System Services. Who would like to make this motion?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councilmember Vizioli, seconded by Councilmember.
I'll second it.
Van Ams. Okay. Any discussion?
Just one quick question. How many GIS staff members do we currently have?
Three.
Three, okay. Yeah, so that's down from the maximum that we've had in the past. All right, thank you.
Not enough, that's the answer.
Justin tells me that.
Frequently.
Any other discussion? This is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone from the public like to address the council on this resolution only? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bush.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Ams.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Our last resolution for today is approval of submission of the 2023 annual report. I have that here right in front of me. All the council members have it, and we need a motion and a second on that.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councilmember Vizioli, seconded by Councilmember.
Second.
Alstead. Any discussion? I just want to urge the council members, please read this. I've been reading it the last two nights. It is really, really good. And once it's published, I'm just going to ask the members of the public, please take a look at it. There is so much information, and it's such great information. So I just wanted to thank Carol and Roberta and all the department heads for all the work they did putting this together. Thank you so much. This is a voting matter with public comment. Would anyone from the public like to address the council on this resolution only? Seeing none, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bush.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Ams.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. Old and new business. Do any council members have anything for old or new business? Seeing none, we move on now to public comments. Just to remind anyone who would like to speak to the council, we're limited to 3 minutes. When you do come up, please state your name. This is a time that we, you know, want to hear your comments, your input, but it's not a time for back and forth discussion with the council. Just always remember that at any time you can call the Highlands Council office here, and we will put you in touch with someone on our staff that hopefully can answer your questions. So who would like to address the council? Gentleman in the back.
You answered my question before I asked it about what transpired to result in the
Robert,
investment.
Please state your name.
I'm sorry, Robert Bruce, 11 Harwich Road, Lopatcom / Phillipsburg, New Jersey. What transpired was answered. what was transpired at the last minute agenda change that removed the vote on the Boy Houses at the Phillipsburg Mall. I think you said that the Pohat Mayor Slade had said that at 3:20 in the morning you had gotten notice. There was a meeting at 3:20 in that evening at Pohat where we learned of that. So he had contacted you apparently before of the meeting. That decision had already been made, apparently.
The meeting ended at 3:20 in the morning?
The meeting was 3:20 p.m.
Oh, p.m.
You had indicated you received notice from Mayor Slack 3:20 a.m.
No, yesterday morning.
Oh, the 21st, because the notice agenda change is dated the 20th. So
right.
That's why I was a little bit confused about that. I wanted to thank the staff, the due diligence, I don't know who staff members, whose members, but as you said, the due diligence was obvious and you deserve to be commended for the work that you put in, even though it got solved. As far as it being re-noticed and re-studied, there are probably, in my belief, going to be substantial changes in proposing at the site. It's a combination on Pohat and Lopat, and if Pohat is out, they may need to go to an entire redesign of that warehouse. That's about 500,000 square feet of warehouse, and roughly 400,000 of it thereabouts is probably Lopat, and Pohat's going to lose some. So that's square one, if I understand it. They're going to not just have to redesign it, but they're going to have to do the plans before they submit them to you for you to do a study again. While I'm here, this is a map of the 15 warehouses, 9 million square feet that have been built in 2 square miles of where we live at exit 3. It's an amalgamation of like 6 different counties, 6 different townships, all of them with their individual boards, and it's just a heck of a fight to fit it, to fight this. The impact of the Lopat withdrawal from the Highlands Council because of the substantial change, and we've noticed a substantial lack of openness all along from our Lopatcom boards. They've actually threatened to withdraw from this Highlands Council. And I was just wondering, what would be the impact of Lopatcom Township's withdrawal from the Highlands Council?
Okay.
Their attorneys claim that they would withdraw if they don't get their way.
I don't know if it's, but we'll address that at the very end.
Very good, thank you. All right, thank you.
Anyone else like to address the council? Gentleman in the back.
Good afternoon, John Kitcherson, 38 Jade Ling, Lopatcom. First off, kudos to Pohatcom. I attended that meeting on Tuesday night where they decided to withdraw their application for the warehouse, and they actually listened to the concerns of their citizens. I've been following this for quite some time. This originally started out as a Highland Center designation, proceeded as such for quite some time. As part of the center designation, they held 3 public meetings where about 100 members of the public attended. According to the notes, I think there were more than that, but it received 100% opposition to the warehouse. And at the very last minute, it was changed to a redevelopment area. I'm not 100% sure why, but what this does, it requires very little notification compared to what a Highland Center designation does, and it completely dismissed the opposition and concerns of the citizens that attended those meetings and spoke out against the warehouse. As you know, the center designation requires garnishing public support and inclusion, just dismisses that. And to me, it's hard to believe that the townships had not come to the Highlands to consult with them to see, how should we proceed with this, you know, at the beginning of their journey? I asked the Lopatcom Council why this was changed to a redevelopment plan, and they said they weren't answering any questions. I asked the Pohatcom Council the same question, and they truthfully didn't know the answer why it was changed to a redevelopment area. I had spoken to Ms. Gallagher and Mr. Humphreys, but I still don't. The answer is still not clear to me. It was said that it was just not a good fit for a center designation, which leads me to wonder why it went for so long in the first place. But one of the things that this did by going to a redevelopment area as opposed to the original center designation is it tossed away all those public all those people that came to those meetings and spoke out against it and thought they had a say in their government, tossed that completely out the window. And I would just urge this council in the future to avoid doing something like that, because it really makes people think that their voices don't. They just don't matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? Yes.
Here we go.
Richard Kelski, statement of opinion. The purported approval of an amendment to your bylaws at your February meeting is null and void because you failed to comply with New Jersey law, including PL 2021 Chapter 412, NJSA 52:34-7, as well as your own bylaw requirement for 10 state working days notice to all council members. It was not authorized by the state treasurer, and you did not meet the notice requirement. Your amendment resolution purported to increase your executive director's authority to quote contract for, issue purchase orders for, and approve payments for goods and services up to $44,000 in accordance with the ED thresholds of the New Jersey Water Supply Authority and the New Jersey Sports Exposition Authority. According to the minutes of the Budget and Finance Committee, quote, Mr. Spinelli reported the Highland staff would like to increase the executive director's contract authority threshold in accordance with the bid authority thresholds of other state agencies. It would be indexed to an independent amount controlled at the state level. That level is currently $44,000. The existing authority was set in 2008 at $25,000. That authority is rarely used, close quote. Anyone could easily ascertain that the other reference agencies are much, much larger, and those agencies had their public bidding thresholds increased to $44,000 through a specific legally mandated review and approval by the state treasurer. The Highlands Council operating budget is around $3 million. Your balance sheet shows about enough cash to cover your budgeted expenses and net capital assets as of 6/30/22 of $34,000 consisting of computers and furniture. The NJSEA has operating expenses of more than $90 million and assets of nearly $350 million. The NJWSA has revenues of about $40 million and assets approaching $400 million. This is like setting the authority for the manager of a local computer repair shop based on the practices of Intel and Microsoft. To make matters worse, different language is used in the committee minutes and the resolution. Does each member actually understand what specific authority was being addressed? Did your attorneys brief the council on PL 2021 Chapter 412, NJSA 52:34-7? Is it appropriate to refer to other unrelated agencies with different statutory authorities in your bylaws? In conclusion, the purported approval of the amendment to your bylaws at your February meeting is null and void for failure to comply with law because you failed to give the required 10 days working days notice to council members. And two, any actions of the ED exceeding 25K or such lower statutory authority as actually was applicable at any time prior to or subsequent to your last meeting are also null and void. If you wish to amend the bid authority threshold of bylaws, you need to comply with New Jersey law and your own bylaws, and the council needs to be fully informed of the law, exactly what is being asked to approve, and why. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to turn to our executive director. Mr. Kelsey has been here for the last couple of meetings, and you and I have discussed, perhaps you could invite him in to discuss some of his questions. Did you invite him in to come to the office?
We did. He had questions about something other than this that we invited him to discuss. We did.
Okay. All right. But he didn't take up the invite. He wasn't interested in?
No.
No.
That's a mistake.
Okay. Well, at any time.
I'm going to mention my name and quote and have somebody report
give you a chance. I will give you a chance to address that.
So this is the back and forth that you said isn't going to occur. Go ahead.
No, you just said you wanted to say something.
All I wanted to say was, the ED contacted me, and I asked for documents, specific documents, if we can go back to that issue. And those related to your conducting a meeting of the RMP Amendment Committee that should have been noticed to the public, and where the public should have received the documents. And you're shaking your head, okay. No, counsel, right. That's no, inappropriate.
All right.
Now.
Let me just stop you there and just say that.
Our
executive director has invited you to come in
and
sit with him and discuss your concerns, your questions, and you said something about a document.
perhaps at that time, he could have presented you with that document after the questions that you had.
I've already received from your counsel, I received from your counsel your position. I didn't mention that issue tonight. I mentioned an entirely different issue tonight. So the other issue, I didn't raise at all, but you felt the need to respond to something I raised at a prior meeting.
What
and
I
that's
said
okay,
was,
but it's,
okay,
but it's inaccurate and incorrect. And the bottom line is your attorney responded with her reasons for not producing the documents. And I said, I stand by my arguments that I presented and I asked for the documents. I was not offered the documents. I was offered to come in and hear the reasoning for what you're doing. The reasoning is not relevant. There's regulations and there's rules that govern these meetings. They're your own rules and you have to follow them. And if you choose not to follow them, that's okay. You go ahead and do them. And then the public is left to do what it needs to do in response to that. And okay. It doesn't mean that we have to come in and meet with you. The last time I spoke with Mr. Spinelli, I was speaking to one of your other council members, he's not here anymore, he left. And Mr. Spinelli chose to raise his voice to me. So that's one of the reasons, and I asked him, why is he raising his voice? So if it's necessary to come in to meet with somebody to get a no answer, which your attorney already answered, it's not necessary. And I don't want to engage in argument with you. I simply stated the facts. You can evaluate them, and you can govern yourselves accordingly.
Okay, thank you. I will say it again. Any time that you have any questions, and what you brought up today, you could have called the Highlands office and said, I want to talk to Ben Spinelli and discuss this. You're coming here for, we're not going to comment on what you're saying.
I didn't ask you to comment.
So let's continue. Anyone else from the audience would like to make a public comment to the council?
Well, I just,
yes.
Well, it's Mike Tresper. I just wanted to say I'm here. Just okay. Wanted to say I'm on the call.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to address the council? All right, gentleman right there.
Oh, the gentleman there.
Okay.
We will go last.
Okay. Sorry, sir. My name is Guy Citron. I'm from Tewksbury Township. And Mr. Director, I'm very sorry for your loss. Mr. Chair, I do apologize if this is not the correct venue for this comment. I truly do not know where to make it. But several months ago, I did watch two hearings at the Belvedere Planning Board related to the redevelopment plan for Block 2, Lot 8. There was a submission for a site plan for a warehouse that was to be heard during that time. And I don't have a prepared speech, so pardon me for speaking from the heart. Several expert witnesses in the fields of acoustics, site engineering, floodplain, or flood management spoke, and there was significant pushback from the public during that time. Things that we can all understand, like how loud is a truck that's going to be going in and out of this site? Is the storm surge capture plan complete? Things of that nature. And at the end of those two meetings, there was a young couple behind me who had purchased a kind of starter home on Water Street, or around Water Street, which is kind of between where the site is and the Pequest. And they were in tears because they couldn't understand how a site plan that was that incomplete with expert witness testimony that was quite honestly inconsistent across the two hearings, where at the second hearing the acoustics expert didn't even show, and there was a member from the public who had contradicting evidence to that gentleman's testimony. They were beside themselves, and the one woman looked at me and said, Guy, is there anything we can do? And I said, I think that's it. So I'm just here to report that they're going to clear cut 30 acres of what they call redevelopment area, but it was never developed. It was a farm that someone stopped farming and it became wilderness again. And it's right next to a community pool. And the folks in town are clearly unable to organize because it's a working class town. And I just wanted to share that information with you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the council? Okay, seeing none, I just want to address the gentleman in the back, two gentlemen that spoke about Lopatcong and Pohatcong. As our executive director mentioned in the beginning, it's out of our hands at this point. We have to hear back from Lopatcong, Pohatcong, or both. So we don't know what's going to happen with it, but it's their decision.
But it would be my understanding that if they have to modify the site plan of the building...
Let me finish that. Okay. Yes, if they have to modify or anything else, they will come back to us. Thank
well,
you.
Well, really? Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
And you have to reduce staff and everything.
Well,
yes.
Right. We'll probably use the same staff. We don't have that many staff members. We don't have anybody on board.
Correct.
All right, so anyone else like to address the council? Seeing none, we need a motion to adjourn. Oh, wait a minute, we did have a comment from...
Carl in the back.
Yeah, he already spoke.
So. I just have one teeny tiny detail.
Why don't you talk to us afterwards, Sam? Okay. Yes.
All of us here, the council members, we're here representing the public, not only the public here, but the residents of the Highlands Council. When these public members come, they have 3 minutes to express themselves. A lot of times, I'm sure it happens with all of us, somebody will come up and they'll make their comments, and we have questions on what they're saying. I don't think that these discussions about that should be taken into the back room. We're here to represent those people. We should be involved in those discussions. When we hear somebody that does have a problem with the Highlands, that's why we're here. We're not here to rubber stamp. We're here to hear what these people have to say about Pohatcong, about Belvedere, about this thing. I think we, the members, should be involved. I know we've given a lot of authority to the executive director, and he's doing a great job. But there are certain things. We are a planning board. That's what we are. We should hear the comments from these people and get involved in them. That's what I have said.
Well, certainly, any time after members of the public speak, any member of the council can weigh in on what they've said. I think that's always been the way we've done
it. But it doesn't go into the back room.
Well,
and that's a negative sound.
Yeah, I don't ever remember going into the back room.
If something comes up here, that maybe we form a procedure when we can do discuss it, or bring it up under new business at the next meeting, maybe. But we should be involved. Why are we here? Why did this new guy...
Councilmember Francis.
Adding to what Richard comment, the thing that I speak about every now and then called municipal sovereignty, we facilitate what many municipalities need help with. We cannot and should not make their decisions. They work independently, and their governing body is responsible to the constituents. Now, we can only deal with what the governing body information gives us. We're not privy to their municipal meetings or whatnot, and probably we shouldn't be. We should act on a factual basis as we see it. And so, We've come a long way. We really have, as a council. I can remember going to Trenton testifying, and I wasn't crazy about this Highlands idea. I wasn't. But boy, we've come a long way. We certainly have. I'm seeing what's going on here today with marketing, with planning, with GIS. We didn't have that before. We never had that before. Affordable housing, wastewater, we're trying to help with that and protect our water and forests. That's really the bottom line. And so I would suggest we don't get involved with local political issues, such as should we have a warehouse or not warehouse. Governing body comes out and says we want to look at this on a basis and apply the regional master plan. We're obligated to do that. But we cannot and should not really tell people or municipalities what to do. as a past mayor, I can tell you, I'm offended by any state agency, the DEP, anybody coming in and saying, you have to do this. And so, and I've bumped heads with them a lot of times because, you know, they have these things called laws, and and we don't know too much about that at the local level, but we struggle with that. This council, as I see it today, has really helped people understand that better. We have. And so, you know, our staff, which I think is always the greatest, and our council, which I think it really, I can remember coming to these meetings early on and said, absolutely not, no. And it had to do with the regional master plan. So I'm telling you that even though we have all these issues, we still have dramatically improved the effort that this council and the service this council serves to the people. But you have to understand there's lines, and we can't change them lines. That's the law. And I would be concerned if we didn't go, if we did get involved. And again, municipal sovereignty is tough. The local government is responsible for what they do, not us. We respond to and facilitate their requests, which we should. So I've said enough. Thanks.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you, Councilmember Francis. Anyone else before we adjourn? Okay, hearing none?
May I respond to the gentleman?
No. Okay, so you have to speak afterwards. Okay, in the back room. We need a motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Councilmember Van Abs. Need a second, quickly.
Second.
Second by Councilmember Bush. All in favor? Those opposed? Meeting is adjourned.